Welcome back, everybody, to the Spectrum Dad Podcast. I'm your host, Fred Marvel, and this week I am joined by a Spectrum mom. I am talking to Amanda, better known on Instagram as Forever Chasing Austin. We talk all about her and Austin's story. We go through his diagnosis, some feeding issues. We get really in-depth with a lot of things, so I don't want to keep you guys any longer. Please enjoy my interview with Amanda. All right, I'm back. I am pleased to be joined today by Amanda. How's it going, Amanda?
Everything's going good. How are you?
I'm good. Never a dull moment. I feel like I've always got a million things going on at once.
Yeah, seriously.
Amanda has two little guys out in Arizona, Austin and Dallas. Am I right?
Correct.
And how old are
they? We're out in Austin just turned 6, and Dallas will be 2 in August, so he's almost a 2. Yeah.
Okay, cool. And Austin is on the spectrum, right? We were talking about?
Yes, Austin does. He is on the autism spectrum. He has sensory processing disorder. He's nonverbal, and we're newly a tube family.
Wow, that's a lot. Do you want to take us back to the beginning, kind of like the beginning of your journey with Austin?
So Austin, he progressed. He was born full term. We had a little bit of an issue with him being born. He was born flipped, and they had to use forceps to pull him out. You know, everybody believes what they believe in when it comes to your kids being on the spectrum. Austin had a very, he had a traumatic birth. I don't know if that has anything to do with it. It might, I don't really know. But he progressed really well until about 15 months. He has all his vaccinations. We were at my boyfriend, who is their dad, Derek. We were at his parents' house, and Austin was not, and previous to this, I didn't really notice anything. He's my first child. I've never gone through anything like this. So his mom had made a comment and was like, something's wrong with Austin. Like, just flat out said something is wrong with Austin. And as your first time parent and, you know, being protective, I was like, why would you say something like that? Like, nothing's wrong with him. He's fine. And her and I are not very close. So I kind of took that negatively, and I wasn't very happy that she said that. And I went home and I told my mom, I'm like, Derek's mom said something's wrong with Austin, and I don't agree. I don't understand why she would say something's wrong with him. Basically, she was like calling his name, and he just ignored her, didn't even look at her, didn't acknowledge her. Throughout the whole day that we were there, she noticed that, like, he was just kind of like alone in a room by himself. And she was just like, hey guys, like, something's going on, and you should maybe go to the doctor and, like, let your pediatrician know. But I was so offended that she said that, that I was like, I hated her after she said something like that. You know what I mean?
I would have the same reaction. Your first reaction is to be completely defensive, and they don't know what they're talking about.
You know, and unfortunately, his family doesn't see my kids very often. They just kind of are like a show up when they want to kind of people. So they didn't even know Austin. So I was really irritated that she had said something was wrong with him when she'd probably seen him like 3 times in his little 15 months of life. So I was like, you don't even know him, so you can't say something's wrong with him because you don't know anything about him. So then I brought it up to my mom. It was around the holidays. It was like October of 2016. And I was like, 2017, sorry, because he was a little bit over a year. I was like, they said something's wrong with him, blah, blah, blah. And my mom's like, nothing's wrong with him. So then we just kept going into the holidays. But then we started noticing something was up, something was wrong, wasn't responding to his name. He was going backwards. He had known 10 signs, and he stopped signing. He stopped talking, which even though he wasn't talking, he was just talking like a couple words, mom, please, ball, please, outside, pointing, all that stuff had stopped. He completely stopped responding to his name, stopped using eye contact. I was like, okay, maybe something is going on. We should probably call the pediatrician. And my cousin, who is now 17, is on the autism spectrum, but he is verbal. He's very intelligent. He's very smart. He says things. Like, so he So we do have autism in the family, but I just never thought about it. I didn't even really know what autism was. So we go to the doctor. My doctor was very understanding. She was like, yeah, let's get him into see an OT, a speech therapist. Let's get him evaluated. Right. So we get him evaluated. It took us a couple places to find where we're at now, where we have been for the last 3 years. But the first couple places that we went to, I didn't like. I didn't like the first place. I didn't think that they were very professional. They were on their phones immediately right off the bat before they even really looked at Austin and evaluated him. They were like, the way he was sitting in like a W, and they were like a W position with his mm-hmm. knees in front of him and his legs behind him.
Right.
And they were like, oh, just from the way he's sitting, he's going to need OT 7 days a week. And I was I was so overwhelmed. I had no idea what was happening. I really had no idea like what any of this stuff really meant. I've never been around any of this. So I went to the bathroom and I had like saw a therapist like yelling at a child and then like on her phone, another one on her phone. And I was like, I don't really care for this place. So I mm-hmm. called my doctor. I just have like a bad feeling about it. Always go with your gut instinct, right? So I called his doctor and I was like, this place is not going to work. I really want to find another place. So we did. We got him into this place, which I really liked for the first amount of time until Austin started showing me signs, like crying before therapy, like screaming bloody murder, trying to mm-hmm. get away from them. And they would never let us go back with them into the sessions. And he would throw up in the sessions from crying so long. And then they'd come out and tell me he did great, but his face was like blotchy and red and like big teary eyed. And so I ended up taking him out of there. And then when I moved, we ended up moving north from where we were. And we went to like this festival and I found his current therapy place, which he has been at for 3 years. And we absolutely love his therapists are like family now.
Yeah.
But so we go there, he goes to OT and speech and feeding therapy and he loves it there. So around 3, we went and we got his official diagnosis,
okay.
which we already figured he was on the spectrum. I mean, like therapy, they can't tell you, oh yeah, your child has autism because they're not the people that diagnose your child.
Right.
But we were seeing therapists like he had, like we knew he had autism. We knew he had issues. We knew he had sensory issues. So getting that diagnosis just kind of made it us go further and help us get more help. Austin ended up starting a developmental preschool when he was 3 at our local elementary school. And he did 2 years there. And that also, for people in Arizona, there's a place called AZIP and, they come out, they evaluate your child. They do all the therapies in your house. They're super helpful. And then you graduate out of it at 3, but they help you graduate out of it and put your child in a developmental preschool. So that's what they did for Austin. He was there for 2 years. He did really well. Yeah. Parallel play with other kids. He still doesn't play with kids, but he will parallel play and he will try to interact with them the best he can. I think now Austin having a little brother really does help him understand like to interact because his little brother won't leave him alone.
Yeah.
And so I think that helps Austin as well, but before having a little brother he had no idea how to interact and play with kids. And now in kindergarten we went to our kindergarten with him and he did a half day Monday through Thursday and he was in a learning center, which is basically the resource room all day. We didn't go into general kindergarten at all. I didn't feel like he was ready to be in general kindergarten because Austin needs a lot of help. He needs someone with him at all times. And he cannot be alone. So if he was to go into general kindergarten, I just was afraid that, I don't know. I just wasn't ready for it yet. I was like afraid. Yeah. And by the time he would have gone into the general education room, he wouldn't be there anymore because he only went to school from 8:30 to 11:30. So by the time they do like specials and stuff with all the other kids, he was already gone. But I just wasn't up for it yet. But he's repeating kindergarten next year. We're moving to a new school because this whole team decided, hey, we're going to switch schools. I know the school is right here behind the house, but we're going to switch to school 30 minutes away. So now we're going to go to the new school because his entire team is moving there. And so we're going there, and he'll be doing it again, half day again. But okay. This time he'll be able to kind of slowly go into the general education room and maybe hang out with the kids and do some stuff with the kids as well. Austin has been around basically adults his whole life, which is just, I feel like that's normal when it comes to kids on the spectrum. I don't know, but my son has always been interacting with adults. And until his little brother, he's never really been around kids. I mean, I had Austin young. I was 21 when I had Austin. So all my kids were out, you know, living their lives and getting their careers going, graduating college, not having a child. So I didn't have the friends with the children to interact with. And I was a nanny at the time, and I ended up quitting to stay home with him. But so we didn't have that interaction. But
it'll come. It'll come at its own pace, I think. I mean, you know, we've all been in the same boat. Alex is in sixth grade now. He's just about done. And you know, I remember kind of going through a lot of the same things that you went through with picking schools and you know where to place him and how much interaction, you know, with kids his own age he gets, you know, because he did the same thing as Austin did, a lot of the parallel play and stuff like that. Same as you guys, it wasn't until we had our second boy that, you know, those little brothers, they just, you know, they don't want to, they don't care.
Teach him. My youngest, he's a handful. Austin was a very laid back, chill, go with the flow. We could go out all day, he'd be fine. I just give him like the iPad and like go with us and hang out. My second, I can't even like be in a store for 10 minutes without him screeching at the top of his lungs and trying to throw everything out of the cart and trying to climb out of the high chair.
Now, now Austin is your oldest. Was there any hesitancy with having another one?
My second actually was an accident. My birth control expired and they didn't realize. So, no, I would have not had a second yet. Honestly never really thought about even having more kids. Our life is so go, 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 go. And we're at therapy, we're at school, we're on the wait list for ABA. So we haven't started ABA yet, but I know we'll be doing that.
Same with us.
So Dallas is now just like, kind of my, he comes with us everywhere and he just goes with it. But actually, Dallas, I know it is. It's true. It's like you kind of just get thrown into this life and you just go with it.
That's it. Put him in the stroller and take him with you.
Exactly. So Dallas, he's almost two, my youngest. Okay. And we actually just had a speech evaluation for him because he is behind in speech. He does everything really well. But since he doesn't, this is what I've been told. He doesn't copy off, since he copies everything off of Austin and Austin's not using words,
right?
The words are also not coming for Dallas, but he will copy everything. So he copies everything that Austin does, everything. He is really good. Like, I don't see him behind in anything besides his speech. So we just did a speech evaluation for him and he's also going to be in the same place that Austin's at one day a week for speech.
Oh, cool. It'll save you a trip then. You won't have to.
Yeah. He's like, I want to go to this cool place Austin's going to, and now you're going to.
That's great. That's great. Now I know Austin's got sensory processing disorder too as well, correct?
Correct. He does.
I know that's different for everybody. So I know Alex is noise sensitive and so how does that affect Austin though?
So Austin is a sensory seeker. He would rather he would rather walk in rocks barefoot than with shoes on. He enjoys that. He likes all like the things that are like sharp and bumpy. He likes the feeling, the tactile feeling on everything. Mm-hmm. He is very sensitive to noise. We have his noise canceling headphones. We spend the summers at the lake and we're on the boat and when it's going it makes the noise from the engines and it's very loud to him, so he'll put them on and he'll be fine and he can enjoy the day. Fireworks, same thing. He can enjoy the fireworks, and as long as they're on. But if they come off, he's scared and he's trying to run the other direction. This past spring, we went to the beach. Austin's always had, and he, since 18 months area, has had an issue with the beach. It's very loud. He's always covering his ears. He's terrified of it. Well, this past spring, I was like, look, we have your headphones. I want to go down to the beach. I haven't been down to the beach, actual beach, since you were like 18 months, and I missed the beach too. So I tried the, I tried doing the headphones, and Austin had a grand old time. He ran around. He had so much fun. He was totally stimming from the waves. He like loved it all. And he was just the happiest. I have, like, he's a happy child, but like genuinely happy and enjoying himself down on the beach. It made me really emotional. I was like, wow, like this is so cool. If I would have just thought and realized that he needed the headphones, we probably could have gone down to the beach every summer that we were in California. You know what I mean?
Right. So, absolutely.
He really, really enjoyed it. And I was really proud of him. Something that was out of his comfort zone, and he liked it. But yeah, yeah. So that was a fun experience for everybody.
That's great. Now, he does. I know recently you guys have been going through a lot with him with food. Does he have food aversions? Or he's extremely picky, right?
He's so around. So Austin has, from the time he could eat food, eat everything. Like a typical boy. Eat. And then around 18, everything stopped. So he stopped eating. And he had about maybe six foods he would actually eat. So those were his safe foods that we always knew he would eat. I swear the people at our Wendy's knew us like by name, because Austin only ate the chicken nuggets from Wendy's. I could not get him to eat any chicken nuggets from anywhere else, from the bag, from the grocery store, nothing. And so I was like, you know, they personally knew us, and I was there every day to get chicken nuggets for $2.26. And it was just insane. And that lasted until about 2.5. And then he switched to something else. And so we always had to make sure, like when we were on vacation, we could find that Jack in the Box or that Chick-fil-A or the Wendy's so that we could get those preferred foods, or he would starve. And then, so yeah, he basically for like the past 4 years, 5 years, was only eating these five foods. And I had Dallas. And right away, right around that time, Austin was about 4.5, we realized that literally stopped eating every single preferred food there was. And I was very worried, because when your kid stops eating, what happens, you know? And so we ended up, his therapist was like, have you guys tried Pediasure? And I was like, okay. And I hate to admit this, but everybody has their own story, everybody goes through their own thing, and you shouldn't judge anybody. Austin was still on a bottle. He would drink milk out of it, but everything just stopped. I was like, okay, let me try giving him Pediasure. And thankfully, he took the Pediasure, but only from the bottle. He wouldn't take it in a sippy cup. He wouldn't take it out of the Pediasure bottle with a straw, nothing. So he did the Pediasure in the bottle for a year. And the day before his fifth birthday, I was like, okay, I'm like, you cannot have a bottle anymore. You're going to be 5 years old. So I took it and I was done. And he was chewing like all the nipples off, and it was becoming dangerous. Like if he was to swallow a nipple, he could have choked.
Right.
So we took him off of the bottle, but as soon as we took him off the bottle, the Pediasure stopped. And so he wouldn't drink it. But then he picked up like Goldfish. He would eat like Pirate's Booty with his, like a Cheeto. He started eating like the kids Z-bars, but it would only be like one at a time for like a very short amount of time. So he still wasn't eating like we should be eating. And I was, you know, I just did what I could do. I was just thankful that he decided to eat this or this or this. And then sometimes he would, the chicken nuggets, he would only eat the breading off the chicken nuggets. So he would just grind his teeth against it just to get all the breading. And I was like, it was a nightmare. So it was like that for like another year. And then we started, I was laying in bed one night and I was reading a GI post on Facebook, and then it made me start kind of researching more about like getting him in to see a GI and kind of go down the feeding tube route. His feeding therapist was like, have you guys ever thought about a feeding tube? And I was like, oh my gosh, like, no, like, I thought it was like the worst thing in the world, like something that goes down your throat. Like, I had no idea what they were. And I was like scared because I don't want my kid to be on a feeding tube. You know what I mean? So I didn't really know what it was. So I started researching it. And the more I researched it and learned about it, I was like, this probably actually won't be too bad. I think that he would really benefit from this. And I told his dad about it. And his dad was like, no way. Like, he does not need to be on a feeding tube. And I'm like, I know it sounds scary, but it's really not that scary. It's going to help him. He's not eating anything. Wouldn't you rather have him eat than not eat anything? And he was like, I guess. So he was like, I guess, but I don't know, like, maybe just like prove me wrong. You know how, I don't know how you are, but like some guys are in very denial about their children.
Right. Something yeah, wrong it's, with hard. Their children. It's right. Hard to admit that, you know, something's our kids need on. Like extra help in any area.
Right. And so, I mean, he's always been very accepting of Austin and his diagnosis and goes through it with us, and he's been there. He's very good about it. But when I brought up the feeding tube, he was like, no way. There's no way that he needs this. So then I found a GI at a children's hospital. I got him on the waiting list. He originally wasn't supposed to be seen until June of this year. So we had went through a point a couple months ago where Austin completely stopped eating everything, and I was so scared. Like, it had been like 5 days where he wasn't eating. Not one food, not one snack, no drinks, nothing. So I called the GI, and I was literally in tears. And I was like, I don't know what to do. And she's like, oh my gosh. She's like, okay, we can get him in immediately. And so they did. They got him in immediately. We went in. We saw the GI. We saw a dietitian. Mm-hmm. And they were like, okay, we think feeding tube is best. We're also going to try this and this. They gave us like this like, it's called Boost Breeze. It's a drink that has like some nutrition in it, but Austin could taste it. And so he didn't want it. And then they tried to give him this medication that kind of like brings their appetite more to life, but Austin could also taste the medication. So he wouldn't, like, we put him in his drinks at that time and he wouldn't drink his drink because he could taste it. So that stuff didn't work. We get, we finally were, she was like, I want to do a bioscopy, like to go down into his stomach and see what's going on. I want to see why we're having these sensory issues. And so I was like, okay. So we scheduled that for May 5th and then of this year. And then his feeding tube specialist was like, you know, if he's already going down for that, let's just put him down for the G tube and get it all done in one day. And I was like, perfect. Works for me, because then we don't have to go through a hospital stay twice.
Yeah.
And so we did do that, and Austin did really good. We went to the children's hospital. He was a little eerie of what was going on. And they do say, like, try to get your kids ready for what's going on. So we did. We were like, we're going to go here. We showed him pictures. You know, you don't really know what your nonverbal child really can understand. But we're like, we're going to go here. We're going to go see the doctor. And then his sensory room, so we're like, we're gonna go in here and get ready for your surgery, and then they're gonna take you back. And thankfully they let me go back with them to do the anesthesiologist with the anesthesiologist. They found there are a couple anesthesiologists that will let you go back with your children, so I'm really thankful that they did do that, because he would have lost it. And he did end up losing it anyway, because the outfit that I had to wear into the OR room, Austin did not like. He had a complete meltdown that I even had this, all the scrubs and the hat and everything on. And so he was already went back there into a meltdown, which I feel like he would have had a meltdown either way. So they put him out, and the surgery took about, you know, 20 minutes, and then he was out. He was in recovery, and since then he did really good. And then unfortunately the anesthesia pushed like a virus out of him, so then he was also sick on top of that in the hospital. So, but, you know, he's doing really, really good. He has a small infection in granulation tissue right now.
Okay.
We're hoping that we went back to the hospital last weekend, and we're hoping that the cream that they gave us will help kill that. But the only thing that he gets really upset about is changing, which is the tape and like the gauze around. That's still really painful for him. But other than that, he's taking feedings like a champ. He's eating goldfish. He's eating some Cheetos.
And that's what I was going to ask you about. Like, what is the long-term like prognosis with a feeding tube? I mean, is it like
G-tubes are hopefully not long term, but they're there to help us. I don't know anything else about any other feeding tubes. I know there's a ton of other feeding out there, but Austin got the G-tube that goes right in through his stomach. We're hoping that it's not long term, but we are thankful that it's here for him to be able to use when we do go through things like this. Austin started eating French fries right before his G-tube surgery, and Derek was like, oh, he's eating French fries, so he doesn't have to get the G-tube. I was like, no, he does have to get the G-tube, because what happens 2 weeks from now when he's not eating French fries again?
I know. And you know, I love French fries, but, you know, we're not getting all the vitamins and everything else you need from French fries.
Exactly. So I think he is still eating the French fries, but
I know.
End game is to be eating orally, getting the nutrition he needs, and to not be like relying on the junk food. We need to be eating fruits and vegetables. We need to be eating chicken and like going, and he's not. Austin is thankfully drinking water, a long time, like years. And we're only drinking it in the sparkling ice waters, but and that's all he drinks right now. He won't drink juice, he won't drink anything except that. And so I'm thankful that he at least drinks his liquids, and those are oral, because we don't want him to stop using his mouth. If he stops using his mouth, then he has to go through therapies to learn how to use his mouth muscles. And so we're thankful for where we're at, and we're thankful that this G-tube is something that's out there to be able to help our kids. I wasn't sure what it was, but then I educated myself. I got educated, and it's like honestly the best thing that we could have done for him. And I know a lot of G2 families reached out to me on Instagram, and they did tell me, they're like, you don't like it right now, but in 2 weeks from now you will love that this happened. You will love having the G-tube. And all their advice is exactly what I'm feeling now. I'm so happy that we have something like this to be able to further life. So
nice. And I want to go back to something you said about doing research, whether it's like feeding issues in your case, or, you know, like a lot of the sensory stuff and OT stuff that we go through with Alex. I can't stress it enough how important it is to do our own research, because one of the frustrating things is that I found is, people aren't always coming to you saying, here's your options, here's what you can do. It's kind of up to us a lot of times to, you know, be the squeaky wheel and like, you know what I mean? Whatever the issue is, like, you know, what do you know, bring it up to their doctors or the therapist or whoever, you know, what do you think of this? What do you think of that? I mean, if we're wrong, we're wrong, but.
Right. And it's always good to ask, you know, your doctor or your therapist, but it's still important to go with your gut and what you think too. Like, just because your therapist says something or just because the doctor says something doesn't mean it's always that. Like, you want to make sure that you're also right in a way. And you can always be wrong too, and your therapist could be right and your doctor could be right. But it's good to know for sure that you've explored all options too. You know what I mean?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we went through something when Alex was young. He had really bad acid reflux. And we had thought he passed it, and we weaned him off of his reflux medicine. And a while after that, we had to put him in the hospital with his asthma. And it just was not, his symptoms weren't getting better. He was in there for a couple days, and they're like, there's really nothing else we can do. But they were going to discharge him, like, but he's still in the same condition. We brought him here. So, you know, we straight up told him, like, you know, we're not comfortable bringing him home yet. So let's look into some more options. So that's exactly what they did. They went back, looked at his history, looked at like maybe his reflux is isn't totally gone like we thought. Let's start him back on his reflux medicine, and everything cleared up and his asthma calmed down, and we were able to go home in a day or two. But
good. And then you used your voice and you kind of were like advocating for him, like, no, something's still wrong. Don't send me home to come back in 2 days.
Yeah. And just like you guys did too, with the different therapy centers and the GI tube and everything like that.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's awesome. Thank you. I've learned. What's that?
Oh, I was going to say, over the years, I've learned to kind of use my voice more. In the beginning, I was more like, oh, okay, that's what you say. Yeah, like, that's what it is. Oh, but yeah. Now, after going through this for so many years, yeah. I'm like, no, you're wrong. I'm not saying I'm right, but I think that there's something else.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I'm glad that we've all learned to advocate for our kids.
Yes, absolutely. Thank you so much for your time today, man. I really appreciate it. If people want to connect with you, where can they find you?
I am on Forever Chasing Austin on Instagram. I just made one Forever Chasing Austin on Facebook, but I don't feel like I post on there as much as I should. I definitely post more on Facebook. I mean, more on Instagram, sorry. I will hope to try to post more on Facebook, but I just love my Instagram community. I joined this Instagram community a little over a year ago, and it is the best thing I've ever done in my life. I have my personal Instagram that I barely even touch anymore because I have met so many people. I know. I have met so many people in this community that I seriously call my best friends, and I have never even met them before. Yeah. It's just so inviting. You feel so welcome. Your kids are not judged. I feel like I know some of these people's kids and I've never even met them. Like, it's not crazy. Absolutely. And I just love it. It just gives me goosebumps talking about it. It's just the best community to be a part of.
Yeah, totally. Awesome. Well, thanks again for coming on. I appreciate it.
Of course. And thank you for having me.
You got it.
I really enjoyed talking to you. Thank you. I just want to say I enjoy like all the podcasts. I love learning about Alex and your family and your family vacations, and I relate so much to you guys. And I'm just happy that I found I love podcasts. I'm happy I found a podcast that we relate to so much. So
I really appreciate it. Thank you.
Of course. All right. Well, you guys have a good one.
You too.
All right. Bye.
I really hope you guys enjoyed my conversation with Amanda. It was great to get to know her a little bit better. And I can't let you guys go without the Spectrum Dad joke of the week. So, why did the man fall in that well? Because he couldn't see that well. I'll talk to you guys next week. Don't forget to leave me a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts. It really helps me out. I really appreciate them. I love reading them. And if you guys want to connect with me, you can find me on Instagram @thespectrumdadpod. Thanks.